As we prepare to take communion together, please open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The constant accessibility to information through online sites, social media, advertising, and the rest is overwhelming. There's a constant barrage of information that is being fed to us. The problem is not getting information. It's processing and discerning and using well the information that we are constantly being bombarded with. We are constantly connected to pretty much everyone that we know, and the need to take thoughts captive, to dwell on things above, to discern what we are hearing is an absolute necessity. Maybe you even find yourself at times fighting anxious thoughts or feeling panicked, feeling unrest in your heart, in your soul, because of the things that are coming at you 24/7. And while circumstances around us or things we hear or read going on in the world may be an outlet and expose areas where we are not trusting God, where we are not humbling ourselves under his mighty hand, there is an unshakable truth that prevails in the midst of all of those things. An unshakable reality. There is a reality that casts a shadow upon every doubt, every anxious thought, every lack of trust, and it can stabilize your and it can stabilize my fickle heart. It is the gospel. It is the reality of Christ and what he has done and who he is and what he has accomplished for all who would repent of their sins and believe upon him. As we consider 1 Timothy 1, we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. And I want to direct our attention to what Paul describes and what is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. Look at verses 15 through 17 with me. God's word said it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul really here gives a summary of the gospel. Paul gives to us a trustworthy claim regarding the incarnation of Christ Jesus, his coming to earth. In verse 15, Paul uses 9 carefully crafted words to summarize the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The eternally existing second person of the Trinity humbled himself. He humbled himself in coming into the world for the purpose of saving sinners like you, of saving sinners like me. Jesus came into the world that he might deliver from sin, from the just wrath each believer deserves, that he might deliver from hell and judgment every person who would repent of his or her sins and turn to Christ in faith and repentance. And in regards to those who deserve wrath and judgment, Paul saw himself as the foremost of all. Paul looked at his life and he said, I am the first among sinners. I am the foremost among sinners. Prior to the Damascus Road, Paul was a blasphemer of God and persecutor of the church of God. And yet God met Paul. God met Paul in his sin and God saved him. This isn't a unique story. Christian, Jesus met you in your sin. Jesus met me in my sin, and he saved us. And listen, if you are not a Christian, if you have not repented and placed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the only means of reconciliation to the Father. If you have not done that, there is hope for you. It doesn't matter what sins you have committed. It doesn't matter the gravity of your sins, the intensity of your sins. It doesn't matter even what happened this weekend or prior. God can meet you in your sin, and he offers forgiveness. If you would but repent of that sin and turn to him in faith. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He can save you. Repent of your sin even this morning. Place your hope, place your life in the realities of this trustworthy statement that is deserving of full acceptance. Paul goes on to say that he found mercy so that the perfect patience of God might be put on full display. In God's grace, power, and patience, he takes a sinner who only wants to suppress the truth about God, and he makes him or her a worshiper of God. Paul then does what every believer should do as he's reflecting on the truth of the gospel, and he bursts forth into praise. It's as if he can't even contain himself in light of these realities that he is putting forth. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's what he did. It's why he did it. And he is worthy of all praise. The cost of saving sinners was high. Jesus' blood was shed. His body was broken. The wrath of God was poured out upon him. And as we take some time now to remember the work of Christ, let our reflection on our Savior lead us away from all anxiety, all doubt, all lack of trust, all self-focus, and let it direct our attention to the God, immortal, invisible, eternal, only wise, that we might worship him and praise him and thank him for all that he has done. It is so much. It is so precious. There is no truth like this truth. There is no reality like this reality. There is nothing that impacts a life, transforms a life, as we will hear later. There is nothing that can do that to the degree in the way that the gospel does that. Nothing is on par with it. It is exclusive. Nothing even comes close to the radical transformation that takes place when God saves a sinner through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. The men are they're going to come forward in a moment. They're going to pass out the bread, the crackers, and the juice. And we know that the bread and the juice are symbols for us to remember Christ. There's nothing extraordinarily special about the juice or the crackers that you'll be served this morning, but what is special is what they represent, and that is Christ. They are symbols representing his body that was crushed. And as we take the bread and you crush it in your teeth, you must remember Christ's body that was crushed on your behalf, Christian. And in the same way as you take the juice and it flows into your mouth, we must remember the blood of Christ, which was poured out and flowed out from him in our stead. If you are not a believer, I once again plead with you, repent. Repent now. Turn to Christ. While there is nothing trustworthy in your life in view of the gospel, place your faith and trust in a trustworthy God, in a true God, in an everlasting God who will forgive you of your sins, reconcile you to himself. Repent and turn to Christ, and we invite you, if you would do that, to join us as we take the bread and the cup and we remember Christ's sacrifice. However, if you will not do that, if you refuse to repent and through your own confession, you would say, no, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus. I have not submitted my life to him. Then we would ask that you would not take the bread and the cup. This is a time for believers to remember. We're so glad that you're here with us. And I know that anyone would love to have a conversation with you about Christ and about the truth of what he has done. But we would ask that you would not take the bread and the cup at this time, as it's a time for believers. The men are going to come and serve us at this time. And as they do, take the bread and the cup and remember Christ and let it lead you and drive you to worship of our great God. When your heart is prepared, take them on your own.